FSI Italian. Preliminary Unit A. What is Italian? A language has been referred to as organized noise. The sounds that one hears in a given language are organized. They form a system. In some languages, you may frequently hear certain types of sounds not normally heard in other languages. Listen to the following English word, which we will call word A. Tick. Tick. None of the sounds you just heard in word A are normally heard in Italian. Listen again. Tick. Tick. Listen to the following English word, which we will call word B. Tip. Tip. Frame 5. Would you say that the first sound heard in word B is normally heard in Italian? Listen again. Tip. Tip. The answer is no. Here is another English word, word C. Listen. Hurt. Hurt. None of the sounds you just heard in word C are normally heard in Italian. Listen again. Hurt. Hurt. Listen to the following English word, word D. Her. Her. Frame 9. Would you say that any of the sounds heard in word D are normally heard in Italian? Listen again. Her. Her. The answer is no. Frame 10. In learning Italian, will you have to try to avoid making certain sounds? The answer is yes. In studying a foreign language, you will often find that some sounds familiar to you in English or some other language that you know will appear in unfamiliar positions in Italian words. For instance, here is an English word, word E. Listen. So. So. Word E begins with a type of sound that we will call for the time being the S sound. Listen to the following English word, word F. Low. Low. Word F begins with a sound type that we will call for the time being the L sound. Sounds that are very similar, if not identical, to the S sound and L sound exist in Italian. In English, many words begin with the S sound followed by the L sound. For example, the words slow, sleep, play, fly. An Italian who does not speak English, however, is likely to imitate these four English words as follows. Slow, sleep, slay, sly. Frame 19. Is the Italian pronouncing these words with an initial S sound followed by an L sound? Listen again. Slow, sleep, slay, sly. The answer is no. Whereas it is normal in English to begin words with the S sound followed by the L sound, this is not normal in Italian. Frame 21. Would you say that the Italian combination that replaces the English is normal at the beginning of words in English? Listen again to the Italian pronunciation. Slow, sleep, slay, sly. The answer is no. Frame 22. Does the S sound, or something very similar to it, exist at all in Italian? The answer is yes. Frame 23. Does the L sound, or something very similar to it, exist at all in Italian? The answer is yes. Frame 24. Would you say that the S sound, followed by the L sound, normally occurs at the beginning of words in Italian? The answer is no. Frame 25. In learning Italian, will you sometimes have to try to avoid making certain sound combinations? The answer is yes. Frame 26. In learning Italian, will you sometimes have to make certain sounds and sound combinations that are not normal for English? The answer is yes. The sound system of a language is called its phonology. One may wish to study the phonology of a language, just as one may wish to study the vocabulary of a language, that is, the words that exist in a given language. Frame 29. Complete the following statement. Two areas of study of a language might be, and the answers are phonology, vocabulary. A third area of study of a language might consist of the way in which words come together to form phrases and sentences. This area is called the grammar of a language. Frame 31. Complete the following statement. The speech of a given community may be analyzed in terms of phonology, vocabulary, and the answer is grammar. When two speech communities share basic features of phonology, vocabulary, and grammar, we say that the speech types of the two communities are related. Another term for related speech types is dialect. In this sense, then, with reference to the United States, one may speak of the Chicago dialect of American English, the metropolitan New York dialect of American English, etc. On a larger scale, one may also speak of British English and American English as being two dialects of English. Frame 35. Would you call a type of speech that is characteristic of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a dialect of American English? The answer is yes. Frame 36. And a type of speech that is characteristic of Boston, Massachusetts? The answer is yes. Frame 37. And a type of speech that is characteristic of Charleston, South Carolina? The answer is yes. In Italy, the geographical area we are here concerned with, there exist many related speech types that have developed from one common stock, traditionally called Vulgar Latin. The term Vulgar Latin refers to a popular or colloquial form of Latin spoken at the time of the Roman Empire. The related speech types existing in Italy are so varied that a Venetian and a Roman, a Tuscan and a Sicilian, or any two speakers of different regional dialects often cannot understand each other if each speaks his own dialect. In a sense, the situation is similar to one in which a London Cockney, a Maine farmer, and a Scottish shepherd might try to communicate with one another. They would find it very difficult to communicate if each used his own individual brand of English. Because dialects like Venetian, Roman, Milanese, and Neapolitan are spoken in the geographical area called Italy, and because of the basic relationship between them, linguists refer to them as Italian, whether they are considering them as individual dialects or as a whole. Thus, the term Italian may refer to many different dialects, individually considered, or to the sum total of all such dialects. The linguistic distinction between a language and a dialect may be compared to the distinction that exists in spectrology between a so-called primary color and a shade. The concept red, for example, embraces many shades, such as rose, ruby, and scarlet, but all may be referred to as red, the coverall term for this group of closely related color types. As a primary color represents a set of color shades, each of which may be referred to by the name of the primary color, so a language, then, represents a set of dialects, each of which may be referred to by the name of the language. If a color shade, such as scarlet or rose, is one form of a primary color, such as red, a dialect, such as Florentine or Neapolitan, is one form of a language, such as Italian. Frame 48. Complete the following statement. The term color shade has meaning only when opposed to the term primary color. The term dialect has meaning only when opposed to the term. The answer is language. Frame 49. Is the shade of scarlet more red than another shade of red, such as rose? The answer is no. Frame 50. Is the Florentine dialect more Italian than another Italian dialect, such as Neapolitan or Venetian? The answer is no. Frame 51. Are scarlet and rose two forms of red? The answer is yes. Frame 52. Are Florentine and Neapolitan two forms of Italian? The answer is yes. Frame 53. Is the shade of rose ever referred to as red? The answer is yes. Frame 54. May the Neapolitan dialect ever be referred to as Italian? The answer is yes. In the 14th century, many Italian writers wrote in a style which was characteristic of their own dialect. One such writer was Dante Alighieri, born in Florence in the region of Tuscany. Frame 56. What was Dante Alighieri's dialect of Italian? The answer is Florentine or Tuscan. The works of Dante gained such prestige that his style was imitated by other writers of his day. Consequently, his dialect, Tuscan, gradually came to be a model of speech and writing for many Italians. Throughout the centuries, great writers, university professors, and other learned Italians have agreed to use Tuscan as the basis for a kind of Italian that has come to be idealized by many. This type of Italian that one has attempted to teach in schools, and which is represented in traditional grammar texts, will be referred to here as idealized standard Italian, or ISI. Frame 59. On which Italian dialect is ISI based? The answer is Tuscan. Frame 60. Is the kind of Italian that has generally been taught in schools based on Tuscan? The answer is yes. While based on the Tuscan dialect, ISI is not wholly Tuscan. Throughout the centuries, the Tuscan dialect, as well as the other Italian dialects, has undergone certain changes in matters of phonology, vocabulary, and grammar. These changes have not all been incorporated in ISI. On the other hand, ISI contains certain features of phonology, vocabulary, and grammar which belong to Italian dialects other than Tuscan. Frame 62. Is ISI wholly Tuscan? The answer is no. Frame 63. Are all the features of Tuscan found in ISI? The answer is no. Frame 64. Does ISI contain non-Tuscan features? The answer is yes. Frame 65. Have other Italian dialects contributed to what is found in ISI? The answer is yes. With the unification of Italy in 1861 and the rise in prestige of the new capital, Rome, in 1870, the idealized speech of the cultured Roman has increasingly constituted a rival to Tuscan as the basis for ISI. A certain amount of controversy has thus arisen, pertaining to the acceptability in ISI of certain linguistic features, the source of which is either Florence or Rome. Frame 67. Is ISI based primarily on the Roman dialect? The answer is no. Frame 68. Which Italian dialect still forms the basis for ISI? The answer is Tuscan. Frame 69. Are features of the Roman dialect of any importance in ISI? The answer is yes. If one considers ISI, however, as an ideal speech type, approached more closely and more often by some Italian speakers than by others, one cannot deny that in practice, nowhere is this ideal achieved with absolute exactness. Frame 71. May ISI then be said to have any real native speakers? The answer is no. Italians striving to speak ISI will naturally pronounce ISI differently according to their regional dialect. These various pronunciations, together with regional features of vocabulary and grammar that may appear in the speech of Italians, in reality constitute different types of speech. Frame 73. Some of these Italian speech types are accepted as standard by most educated speakers of Italian. Others are not so accepted. The accepted types constitute what is here referred to as Practical Standard Italian, or PSI. Frame 74. Which is only an ideal, ISI or PSI? The answer is ISI. Frame 75. Which, on the other hand, is real, ISI or PSI? The answer is PSI. Frame 76. You would expect an educated Italian, then, to speak which of the two, ISI or PSI? The answer is PSI. Frame 77. What would you expect two educated Italians from different parts of Italy to use in speaking with each other? The answer is PSI. Frame 78. Will the pronunciation of these two Italians be exactly the same? The answer is no. Frame 79. Will all the vocabulary and grammar used by these two Italians be necessarily identical? The answer is no. Frame 80. Consequently, would you call PSI A, one dialect, or B, various kinds of speech? The answer is B. Frame 81. Is PSI accepted as standard by most educated speakers of Italian? The answer is yes. Frame 82. If ISI and PSI are standard forms of Italian, would it be appropriate to refer to any other kind of Italian speech as non-standard Italian or NSI? The answer is yes. Frame 83. Are there any native speakers of ISI? The answer is no. Frame 84. Are there any native speakers of PSI? The answer is yes. Frame 85. Are there any native speakers of NSI? The answer is yes. Many Italians grow up speaking two forms of Italian, one classifiable as PSI and the other classifiable as NSI. Thus, although a person from Genoa and a person from Bologna, for example, might have difficulty communicating with each other in their individual brands of NSI, they can easily communicate by using PSI. Italian speakers, like speakers of other languages, are often worried about whether a certain linguistic feature is good or bad, correct or incorrect. Since such terms are value judgments that mean different things to different people, it is probably more practical in language discussions to replace them with the terms idealized standard Italian, practical standard Italian, and non-standard Italian. A linguistic item may be perfectly correct or appropriate in NSI, but incorrect or inappropriate in PSI. Also, something may be correct in PSI, but not in NSI. Instead of the threefold distinction of ISI, PSI, and NSI, many Italian speakers make only a twofold distinction. For them, ISI and PSI are indiscriminately referred to by such terms as standard Italian, Italian, or la lingua. NSI they call non-Italian or dialect. The preceding exercises have attempted to show that every Italian speaks one or more brands or dialects of Italian. Some of these dialects are standard, whereas others are non-standard. This course will try to teach the type of Italian referred to here as ISI, but only when the latter does not differ markedly from PSI. In other words, anything in ISI that represents only something idealized, but not actually said in everyday Italian speech, may be given for students' information, but what students are expected to learn is what Italians actually say. This is the end of the recorded portion for Preliminary Unit A.